Welcome, South Florida, to the Business Counselor with your host, Ian Berkowitz, a former attorney advisor with the United States Small Business Administration in Washington, D.C. Ian has spent his professional career assisting businessmen and women start, expand, and grow their businesses to their full potential. He rolls up his sleeves and works directly with his clients to develop and implement short and long-term goals to ensure their success. Currently, Ian is a practicing business and real estate attorney in Boca Raton. The Business Counselor is dedicated to providing you with resources and information on all aspects of succeeding in your business. If you're starting, growing, expanding, or exploding your business, this is the program for you. And now, here's your Business Counselor, Ian Berkowitz.
All right, welcome everyone. Good morning. My name is Mike Dubin, alongside Ian Berkowitz, who is the host of the show. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Michael. It's a pleasure.
And Ian's letting me take us out of the gate, I guess, for it's Derby week, so he's letting me take us out.
Who won? Do you know who won?
Barbaro.
Barbaro.
Isn't that the name of the horse?
I think so. And so what did that business owner get out of that?
I'm not sure how much money they made, but that is an interesting business.
They did okay. Horse racing is a business. We talk business
here.
That's
what we talk about.
We do. We talk business here. I know that you've got all of your information rock solid here today. We have an unbelievable individual who is with us. For those of you who the first time you're listening in, this is the Business Counselor. It is a one of the top national radio programs out there regarding business. And we talk about how you are effective in business. And we bring in experts in all disciplines to help you get the maximum information so that you can grow, expand, and explode your business.
Right, and there's a lot to business. You know, last week we talked about creative financing for your business, and then the week before that we talked about getting a grant, like Eli Calloway got a grant to start his business, and there's a lot of options out there. We talked about transitioning. You know, what do they say? Some people work in two, three, maybe four careers before they actually find what they're – I mean, I'm on my fourth career, and I hope I don't have many more left.
Because, you are. And actually, our guest today, Michael Grossman, which I'm going to introduce in a little bit, he as well transitioned within the same industry, but he transitioned from one career to the next career. He's got that perspective. But today's show, okay, so that everyone understands, because we always deal with the topic of the day, and I expect there's going to be a ton of calls on this one, is advertising and branding. You know, we all talk about our businesses. We talk about products and services that we offer. And the bottom line is, you know, how do you get business? Well, you got to do something to get business. You could, do what we all know is generally the commercial when you're 6 or 7 years old. You know, you set up your location on the corner of First and Main. You put a little stand up. You put some lemonade into a jar, and you know, you sell lemonade, and you get a little lemonade stand. And that's one way to certainly market your business. You set up a location that's very visible. You put up a sign, and you're in business.
And branding, I think, is just a tremendous asset. If you can brand yourself, I mean, you know, look at a guy like Donald Trump. I mean, does he not believe in branding?
His whole life is a brand now. It's really not what he does in real estate anymore. I mean, I'm sure he still does very well in real estate, but he is a brand.
Of course. And companies that can brand themselves, you know, you look at these companies that have done tremendous with branding, like a Xerox or a Band-Aid. You know, those companies have branded themselves.
Kleenex.
And a Kleenex.
And sometimes too well. On the legal perspective, I would tell you that there's a fine line. If you brand yourself too well, then you're synonymous with the product, and then that's in jeopardy as far as the brand. But nonetheless, you got to make sure that people know that you are a brand and not the product itself.
Right, like our show, The Business Counselor.
That's right.
We branded ourselves as the number one show.
We talk about business. We are from coast to coast.
And I'd like to tell people, please call in with your business questions or business success stories or business comments. What's our number? 1-800-889-0267.
That's right. Toll free, 1-800-889-0267. And if you're in Palm Beach County, the number is
844-6167.
And that's, of course, area code 561. For those of you, I'd be shocked if this is the first time you've heard the program, but if you are, a little bit about myself and Michael. I am a full-time real estate and corporate business law attorney in Boca Raton, Florida. I deal with business issues every single day of the week. And my good friend, Michael Dubin, is a full-time real estate investor. He has gone from an illustrious career behind the desk of the television camera to being under the scenes and in the scenes regarding, I guess, how to make money in real estate.
Right, and the glamorous world of real estate.
Yes, the glamorous world of real estate. I call you the Trump of the South. And so between the two of us, the idea here is to really deal with all kinds of business aspects. Again, give us a call. Today we are talking to Michael Grossman. Are you on the line?
I'm here, Ian. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning, Michael Dubin.
Good morning, Michael.
Well, Michael, I'm going to obviously let everyone know a little bit about your background, but suffice to say that you have been doing advertising, marketing, and all of the aspects of it for quite some time, close to 20 years, if not more.
Just about 20 years.
Just yes. About 20 years. And so you are an expert in this area. A little bit about Michael. He went to my alma mater, the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Did you have a good time there?
From what I remember, I did. I can proudly say that I...
It's probably a little fuzzy, especially during Halloween, stuff like that.
Halloween.
But since then, your primary area, I know from your background, was healthcare marketing. And healthcare, I would assume, Michael, over the last 20 years, has been dramatic. So, you know, when you got in to this firm, I know after school, it was a very small firm up to when you left and resigned, it was 50 people.
It was.
And that's a nice size firm. Tell me a little bit about the kinds of stuff that you were doing and in essence, you know, about the, you know, how you were making stuff happen, because you were its production manager, which certainly seems like a dynamic title right. for a dynamic man.
Well, going back to the Madison days, I mean, when you study journalism, and you have the opportunity to get out and get in the interviewing world, everybody wants to get out there and focus with Leo Burnett, D.D.B. Needham, Ogilvy and Mather, you know, the big names. And some of them are still around and still have made a tremendous name for themselves. And I decided to take a different route and focus on a niche, healthcare. And when you talk about healthcare, you know, it doesn't matter if you're talking about the OBGYNs of the world, the urologists of the world, the anesthesiologists, the pediatricians, that all focuses on healthcare, hospitals, and so on and so forth. So I decided to avoid the clutter of being one of 10,000 resumes on a Leo Burnett human resource desk and go the other route. And living in Chicago, I decided to focus on a Chicago market that I knew was going to do nothing but growing, and that was healthcare.
And that's a good point that I wanted to make. Certainly, healthcare has changed over the course of the last few decades. I remember 20 and 30 years ago, there was really no direct marketing and direct advertising to the consumer regarding, you know, a drug or a pharmaceutical. Now, you turn on the Today Show. There's, you know, if it's not for Levitra, it's for something else. I mean, there's all kinds of direct marketing, so that individuals are now being prompted to go to their doctor and ask for a certain script or ask for a certain medication, and that's new. I mean, that evolved over the last few decades.
It did. You know, so when I joined on as an entry level, if you will, marketing specialist, there were 9 people at the agency, and like you kindly mentioned, when I left just about a year ago and started my second career, I know Mike said earlier that he's on his fourth. And I can probably say that I'm only on my second, but to help the agency grow to 50 people. And, you know, when you work in the agency world, and the agency world realistically is just one big branding company, you try to go out there and you try and sell full service. You try and go out there and get the best writers, the best thinkers, the best egos, if you will, to help any size company, healthcare or B2B, help brand. It doesn't matter. A pharmaceutical company, Viagra, is a brand, but the manufacturer of Viagra, Pfizer, is also a brand. You see the name Pfizer all over NASCAR, but you also see the individual brands underneath the companies,
right.
Viagra, and so on and so forth. So again, the companies are doing an amazing job branding themselves and their subsidiaries under one umbrella.
Well, and that's a good point. I mean, the show topic today is advertising, marketing, and branding. What I want to do is try to get into it. I know we've got a ton of issues to discuss with it. I guess the first general question.
Can I cut it? You do have 3 hours of time for me on this slated, don't you?
Actually, unfortunately, we've got the abbreviated show this afternoon. But the first question, I guess, for everyone. I mean, you know, I gave the initial as far as, you know, setting up a lemonade stand, doing a sign, and trying to make yourself visible. You know, what really is, as far as a business people, because that's really what our market is. We're dealing with business people who are trying to grow and expand their business. They're trying to utilize what resources they have in order to make them more visible and turn that into more revenue.
Correct.
So in your experience in dealing with that kind of, you know, those kinds of issues, I mean, what does a business owner need to focus on when they're thinking about trying to grow and expand their business when it comes to, you know, trying to deal with some kind of a marketing or advertising strategy? I mean, what are those critical factors for them to start to think about?
When you mention the word branding or a brand, like I mentioned earlier, it could be something tangible, like a product, or it could be something, a company. So really the word branding is a true marketing strategy to get people, consumers, business people, if you will, to believe that our brand is better than anybody else's.
So
our services are better than anybody else's. So what companies do is they go out and they hire an agency, a marketing company, PR, they do all this stuff. They set a budget to build brand awareness, brand imaging, and brand loyalty.
Now, what if you're selling, Michael, if someone has got a store, and they're
store,
selling other people's products.
A national store or a local store in Palm Beach County, Florida? Which one?
Right. Well, let's just say you've got a local store down here, and they're selling someone else's wares.
Mm-hmm.
But they still want to attract, and they're, of course, competing with, obviously, the big box retailers and you know, of the world. How do they, on a budget, or what are the critical issues that they need to deal with, especially if price, you know, they can't compete with a Walmart or they can't compete on pricing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's the really a suggestion for people like that to try to distinguish themselves and use branding or advertising and marketing as an effective way to draw people in?
You know, the ma and pa shops of the world nowadays are getting hammered by the big guys because the purchase, they're not buying the stuff as cheap as. So unless you've, over the years, because of your location, because of what people come to expect of that corner store selling a little bit of everything, it's really difficult for them, other than the Sunday flyers in the local papers or possibly advertising on the targeted radio shows like yourself, that's going to allow them to generate the traffic to go out there and keep their business, you know, flourishing.
Well, what about the circumstance of just service? I mean, you know, because obviously,
you know,
that's one way.
Most mom and pop shops, that's where they stand out. You're not, you know, you see so much negative publicity out there about, you know, the sweatshops, and I'm not going to mention any names. By no means do I want to badmouth anybody. But that's one thing where the small little local pharmacist who still delivers, and the small little local grocery store who still delivers, and there's somebody there to actually help you pick out your fruit and so on and so forth. That's where, if the consumer finds the place and knows about it, that's where they're going to win. And that's the key thing. There's nothing like the personal contact when you're trying to brand your store. But sometimes the little mom-and-pa shops don't have a dime in their left pocket to try and put money in their right pocket to try and compete with the big guys. And that's very, very difficult. And you start seeing, I mean, you know it, Ian, when you drive down any one of your side streets, stores for sale, those at one time were the flourishing, you know, companies that were making it before the big guys came in and got, you know, they had to leave.
Michael, I have a question for you. I know, you know, I'm in real estate and I deal with a lot of realtors, and there's a lot of companies out there that buy houses, and
sure,
you know, we buy ugly houses. They've branded themselves and things of that nature. What is your advice to the small business owner? I mean, I know in real estate they call it farming your area, you know, sending a postcard out once a month, keeping your name in front of somebody. But a lot of people don't do it and they don't succeed. What is your advice to keep yourself in front of the consumer? How often, and do you find that works?
Little postcards like that definitely does work. There's so much, you know, when you talk about mailing a postcard, I mean, that's only like one small part of the media mix. I mean, obviously, anytime you try to brand anything, whether it be a real estate company or gas stations or whatever it is, it's really putting your message in front of somebody, which is in the media. And
so it's a constant work in progress. I mean, you can't just do it once in a while,
you
know, willy-nilly. You got to have a real...
Part of a whole coordinated program.
Yeah, the whole thing about building a brand and building a brand awareness is repetition. If you're going to do one mailing of one postcard to one targeted audience and you get one response, you know it's not successful. So it's the constant repetition. Even being a small... direct mail is not an expensive way to brand yourself, especially in the local arena. So if you can go out and buy a list of zip codes of if you're in Palm Beach County, Florida, as a realtor, you don't want to, you're not going to try and sell something in South Beach, if you will, or Fargo, North Dakota. So it's knowing who your audience is. You can go out in any market that you're in and buy a list of names.
Well, that's a great topic.
That is great advice.
Yeah,
knowing your area.
Well, and
knowing your area, that's very important.
But knowing who your market is.
Yeah, you're not going to try and sell Rolls Royces and BMWs to somebody who lives in a poverty setting. You know, so again, it's knowing who your market is, and then figuring out a way how to target that market when you're advertising on national television, let's just say for the sake of it, you do not advertise beer on Barney, let's say, because that's just a waste of dollar.
I would think so. You just have
to know who your audience is, where your audience is as well.
I don't know. I watch Barney with my kids, so maybe they're getting me.
And you're always good for a good cold one.
Yeah, there's nothing like
Let me ask you a question, Mike. I know you did mention something, and I really want to find out. ImageMark is a dynamic company, and I know that you made a move. Let's talk a little bit, if we can, about ImageMark. I want to know, you know, what they do, because I guess the critical issue that you brought up, and I want to explore a little bit more, is knowing your audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a business owner. I have a convenience store. I have a
mortgage broker.
A mortgage broker or something like that. Or I have a secretarial pool office, you know, that I, you know, deal with secretaries and placing. You know, I know about that business. I may know the dynamics as far as how to hire secretaries and place them. I may know a lot of law offices. But how do you, you know, let's first take the ImageMark, what ImageMark does. But the follow-up question is, you know, how do you really define who your target market is? And is that something that, you know, a company like yours, like ImageMark, does in first really being able to put together a successful campaign?
Mm-hmm. Well, go back to the first question. You know, what is ImageMark? ImageMark, you know, fittingly has, you know, your show for the next 45 minutes or so talks about branding. And ImageMark's tagline is, we don't brand your merchandise. We merchandise your brand. We're putting the emphasis on the brand. ImageMark is a company that focuses, and again, branding, like I talked about the media mix before, ImageMark is one section of a media mix. We take a logo, we take an image, and we put it on any promotional item, any piece of apparel.
So now, does someone come to you after they've gone to a graphic designer and they already have a logo, or do you guys do that in-house as well?
We provide the full-service creative in-house.
Okay.
Sit down with an individual, the small mom-and-pa shop, or the big national company like ABC, like, we have a long list of companies, Miller, Manpower, hot dog on a stick. There's a ton of companies out there that will come to us that has their own identity, let's say, because they've been around for a while, like, you know, and they give us their logo, and they just say, what can we do to better brand ourselves, to make us more visible? And, of course, everything, which is a whole other can of worms, is also driven on budget. You know, you can't sit down as a mom-and-pop shop wanting to compete against someone like Donald Trump, like you mentioned earlier, Michael. You just can't do it.
Right. What do you say to these mom and pops that want to image, you know, get an image for themselves? I mean, what kind of budget realistically? I know it runs such a gamut, but what kind of budget realistically is a small, you know, a real estate office or a mortgage broker or a mom and pop shop? What kind of budget are they looking at to acquire these types of services?
You know, we sit down and we do a lot of market research. Just even something we can sit down and do something market research nationally or locally. You kind of look at what your sales have been, because obviously anytime you want to try and build your brand, which we're obviously using an example as the corner shop, but it's still the brand. So if they want to increase sales, which is what everybody, I guess, out there wants to do, whether you're selling real estate, you want to sell more property, because the bottom line is it puts more money in your right pocket. But you got to spend a little to make a little. So for these guys to come out, you just kind of have to look at what did they do in the past and what are their goals. You have to set up a list of goals.
Yeah, and there's a budget, as you said. I think the point is that there's a budget for everyone.
It's all driven on budget, and that's really what it is. And you can do many, many things as the little ma and pa shop. You can be an active sponsor in the community. You can sponsor a 4th of July parade. Anything with your logo on it.
Right.
To get people to get to your store, to know where you're located, will increase traffic, which in the end increases sales. So for the little mom and pop shop, you know, obviously if, and again, we're kind of talking targeted right now, if somebody wants to come in there and they're sandwiched in between a couple of conglomerates, what can they do different that's going to make them, that's going to make the consumer want to go and shop at their store.
Yeah,
and they have
advice
to be able to offer the you know, you see some of the local guys on TV, you know, the screaming guys or whatever, and it's just like, I want to go meet that guy. I just want to go meet this guy, and oh, he also sells cars, and that's what people are doing. And it doesn't matter if they're buy one, get one free, or come in and meet, Shaquille O'Neal, you know, something, whatever they can do, whoever they know. You know, I learned this 20 years ago. It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Right.
You know, so again, these people have to network just like the three of us have to do every day to help brand themselves.
Well, it's being resourceful.
Being resourceful.
How difficult is it for a person in your position to try to think outside the box for some of these big companies? You know, it seems like some of these brands or these branding techniques, you know, you have to be very creative. And I guess if it hits, you're a genius, and if it misses, you know, your end of story.
That's, you know what, the Super Bowl is obviously the catch-all for what you just said. I mean, if it doesn't hit, the agency and the brand looks like but it could kind of be a catch 2020. You can kind of look at it both ways. If it was horrible, you're going to remember it because it was so bad.
Right. I mean, that's a good point.
That is true.
Well,
you're still going to
you know,
get
and sometimes they take that reverse action going, you know, do we want to do something that someone's going to remember because it was just, it cost just $50 million to do, or something so silly, so bad that people remembered it as well. So again, there's just so many ways that you can look at how to effectively, you know, put your name out there. Something, just doing absolutely something silly by hanging out on the corner in a chicken outfit, throwing out frisbees to somebody, or doing something, you know, on a
yeah, I get... Ian, that's our next promotion.
That's how we're going to be doing the seminars. We'll I don't know. We'll
you know,
stick.
Ian and I did cross paths at some point in college. I
sure
do remember Ian, and I think Ian still has a chicken costume that that he might be able to wear to try and promote the.
Michael, thank you for giving us more credibility than
yeah.
we deserve.
We try not to talk about those things. We are going to take a short break. Michael, when we get back, we are going to talk again a little bit more about, you know, again, what is a brand, how in essence, how do you really need to develop it,
sure.
How to find a group like yours. I mean, I know we've got yours, and we're going to give information out as to how to reach you and how to use ImageMark. But, you know, what are people who are locally who may want to, you know, feel in touch someone down here, what do they need to look for and what kind of questions do they need to ask in order to really interview and get the right people on board to help them?
Sure.
So hold on to the line. I am going to give the phone numbers out. I know we've got a few people on hold, but we will hopefully take some calls soon. In Palm Beach County, If you want to call in, please call at 844-6167. Toll free, 1-800-889-0267. Let me try that again, 800-889-0267. I know that anyone who's thinking of branding, advertising, and marketing, this is your opportunity to speak to someone who's been in the business for decades and has done a ton of stuff with a ton of great companies. It's our guest, Michael Grossman, and we will be back after these kind sponsorship words.
Do you need to sell your house right now? Sell your house today. Call toll-free at 1-888-827-0034. Don't waste a single minute. We buy houses anywhere, any condition, any reason. Call for a free consultation. 1-888-827-0034. We can make you a cash offer in 24 hours or less. Don't be a prisoner to your money pit. Do you feel trapped in a house you can't sell because of hurricane damage? Are you going through a divorce or job transfer? Maybe your family is having financial challenges. I can help you. Don't put it off another day. Call 1-888-827-0034. Tired of worrying about your mortgage? Having trouble selling a house no one wants to buy? Facing foreclosure? Get rid of that house today and put cash in your pocket right now. Call 1-888-827-0034.
Whether you want to improve your existing site or build a new site from the ground up, NetProfessions' service-oriented team has the tools you need for successful internet marketing. Their expert staff will provide you with the following services: domain name registrations, reliable web hosting, skilled web design, custom programming, database integration, encryption technology, and secure credit card transactions. One of the most reliable ways to increase your website's rankings in the search engines is through quality content updated regularly. NetProfession will be with you every step of the way to make sure your web presence explodes. If you are invisible on the web, have lackluster activity for your site, or need to begin your website development, you owe it to yourself to contact the professionals at NetProfession to be part of your power team. Call them at 954-961-3525 or visit them on the web at www.netprofession.com.
You're listening to The Business Counselor with your host, attorney Ian Berkowitz, on AM 1230 WBZT, The Talk Station, where we not just talk about your business, but take your business to new heights. Find out how you can get your business out of neutral and into high gear. And now, let's get back to your business counselor, Ian Berkowitz.
Okay, everyone, we are back with The Business Counselor. We are the number one, I like to say that, we are the number one business program out there on the radio dealing with small business, medium-sized business issues. We have a dynamic program today. We're talking marketing, advertising, and the all-illustrious word branding, and we have a guest, Michael Grossman, from ImageMark from Chicago, or actually from Milwaukee is the home base. But Michael,
yeah,
I know that you're in Chicago.
Lovely, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Exactly. I am here with, of course, my co-pilot, Michael Dubin, the real estate guru, and he is here talking branding as well.
Glad to be here, as always, Ian.
And as everyone knows, Michael is a full-time real estate investor. He deals with all of our real estate issues or questions or comments because you need to diversify in your life, and you should always have real estate.
And many businesses have real estate.
And real estate is a business.
And it is. And I find it interesting talking to Michael because I've always been a very big believer in niche marketing and branding, although I haven't quite gotten there myself.
Well, when you were on the air, you were a brand. I mean, you had a face. People knew you. You were a roving reporter. And they knew you. So they knew Mike was the guy who could do those 60 seconds, 90 seconds,
yeah.
Sometimes you tell me 45 seconds.
Tell that to the news director.
Listen, there's a lot of people out there, and not all managers are great managers. What can I tell you? I'm going to give out the phone numbers again, 561-844-6167 in Palm Beach County. Toll free, 1-800-889-0267. We are talking branding here. Why don't I at least give out, I know that people want to contact us. They mostly contact us outside of the show. If in the event you want to contact me over the course of the next few days until our next program next week, reach me at ian@businesscounselor.com, all one word, on the net. And you can get Michael at
Mike@businesscounselor.com.
Yeah.
Mike@businesscounselor.com.
And Michael, if people want to get in contact with you after the program, you have an email address and a phone number where they can reach you?
Yeah. I can be contacted at mgrossman, that's G-R-O-S-S-M-A-N, at imagemark.com.
Okay.
The ImageMark website is www.imagemark.com, and that will take you into all of our capabilities. And I can be reached at area code 312-209-6822.
And you do stuff all over the country.
Yeah, we do. I have clients everywhere from L.A. To New York. ImageMark's customers are national. And anybody, whether it be in South Florida or the opposite coast, it's a phone call and an airplane right away. And that's kind of one of the things that I think that helps brand ImageMark is we're still an old believer of face-to-face partnerships. You know, in today's world of the internet and email and so on and so forth, you know, I think part of what helps ImageMark stay a step ahead of the game is, like we talked about before, you got to spend a few bucks to make a few bucks. And I think getting that face-to-face contact with your clients, with your audience, will only help them feel comfortable with who they are. And whether it be them feeling comfortable with Michael Grossman or anybody else from ImageMark or anybody else, I mean, Ian, as an attorney, you can represent anybody in the state of Florida, wherever you want to go.
That is true.
You get in the car and you go, and people feel comfortable with you. They'll recommend you, and that's kind of how something small, like when Ian Berkowitz graduated from the University of Wisconsin and went on to law school, he was just Ian Berkowitz before he joined on with, let's just say, a gigantic law firm.
That
but
is
until
true.
Then...
For the government, that's
for the government,
biggest.
Right. Then he works on one case, does great. Second case, word of mouth, now he's Ian Berkowitz.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of branding. That's part of what we're talking about.
It is, and it doesn't matter if you're Ian Berkowitz or your Pfizer, or your Chevy.
Right, it's just the name.
You take it on a case-by-case basis, but no matter what, Ian Berkowitz has to build brand awareness.
It is a name.
And loyalty, just like Chevy has to do with their cars against Ford and everybody else. It's really just on a smaller scale with the same end result. And
right.
It's that simple. So
right.
Your listeners in Florida that are listening live on the radio or whoever's listening on the internet, it's the same thing.
Michael, when you try to brand yourself, when you're first starting out, what's the most successful way? I mean, is it done through a logo? Is it done through a saying that you keep sending out there, like a catchphrase or a logo you get in people's faces to try to identify you as the person to go to for that industry?
We even know, the show that is before us, I mean, it's just even a noise. You can make a noise, and that can be your branded noise.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, and listen, let's just look at some of these case studies. I mean, I know going through, I've got, Michael, some of the at least client highlights from ImageMark, ABC Sports, Six Flags Theme Park, Citibank. I mean, Citibank is obviously tremendous, and it's live richly. I mean, that's their tagline. Cold Stone Creamery, Hallmark, Fox Sports, Harley Davidson, SC Johnson. I mean, you guys have done tremendous stuff with tremendous companies.
And what we do, Ian, not to say that we by no means are we their exclusive, because we're not. We partner with Citibank's or Cold Stone's or American Express. We partner with their agency, with their PR firm, to only help in their media mix.
Well, it's a team approach. I mean, it's a team approach. You've got many people.
And again, I didn't want to make it sound like ImageMark, does all of the branding for Citibank or all of the branding for Six Flags, because we don't. We're one of their selected branding companies to help them, because there's so many different sides of branding, international, U.S., local, national, so on and so forth, that we just are just one of the selected people that they've instilled confidence in with ABC Sports, with four of the last five Super Bowls.
Right.
When you see the people on TV and it's the halftime show and you're looking at them going, God, that's a cool jacket or that's a cool hat, or you're at the Super Bowl and you buy some of the Super Bowl merchandise, we had involvement in all of that because of our track record and our history and turning around something on a dime and just the people that we have behind us supporting us. That's just so important as part of branding your company.
All right, so when you're talking about branding, obviously the advertising and the marketing is part of it, but sure. A lot of the times with branding, what you're talking about is then taking your mark and then putting it in some kind of a form so it becomes visible.
Sure. I mean, just like anything. I mean, you know, the branding can be looked at in many different things. Like, I think, you know, you guys kind of stole some of my thunder earlier, which kind of means that you guys know a little bit about branding. But you guys talked about Kleenex, Xerox. Those are brand names,
right,
but are used in a generic sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are big issues. I mean,
well,
I know
big,
Xerox.
Big issues legally, which
right,
you know, you can read about all day. Ian Berkowitz is not going to get sued by going, hey, can you pass me a piece of Kleenex when it's really Posh Puffs or whatever, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
You're not going to get sued for that. But realistically, you know, that hey, can you make a Xerox of this when you're using it on another machine is really, you know, the patent infringement, the trademark
infringement. Yeah, I mean, that's something that in the past, I mean, a lot of those companies needed to deal with, because obviously you can protect your mark as long as it doesn't really end up in the public domain and become generic. Once it becomes generic, then it's free to use.
But,
and so you need to protect that. You need to make sure. And I remember when that case hit, when the Xerox case hit,
yep,
they spent a ton of money in making sure that people identified the brand Xerox as opposed to the copy Xerox.
The thing that Xerox and Kleenex and some of the other companies did was they were the pioneer. They were the first ones out there. And, you know, when someone says, you know, when somebody copies you, that's basically a sign of admiration, and that's what people are doing.
Right.
You know, when Xerox came out, they go, oh, my God, we can make copier, and now everybody's trying to do what Xerox did or Kleenex did.
Right.
You know, creating a logo. A logo is a brand. That Nike swoosh, no matter where you see it, even if the word Nike is not associated
absolutely
with it, you know darn well what that stands for. A name. Like you mentioned before, Michael, Donald Trump. You don't have to think about Trump Tower to think about Donald Trump. You can look at Donald and his hair and everything else that he represents, and he is a brand.
Right.
You can look at Wrigley Field coming from Chicago, or you can look at the Sears Tower, or you can look at anything. A building is a brand. So there's just so many different ways that companies can go out and take an image, put it on a shirt, put it on a hat, put it anywhere, and brand that image, name, person. There's just so many. I mean, again, unfortunately, we only have 50 minutes, but you can see that there's just so many ways that even though I spent 17 years in the healthcare arena, branding a pharmaceutical product is really no different than branding ice cream, cereal, and a car's.
We've got a bunch of people who, let's just say, are listening. They're getting ideas. They know about advertising. Mm-hmm. They're getting the whole, I think, thing about branding. What's the next step for them? I mean, how and what do they do? Who do they contact? I mean, what do they need to talk? What are the questions that they need to ask a firm in regards to trying to put together a program for them?
Well, I mean, you know, the initial face-to-face meeting, you know, will say it all. You know, what is your long-term goal? Because you do have to set a goal, set an objective, and then execute those objectives. So it's just a matter of sitting down, and if someone just says...
Well, so if someone says, listen, I've got a new business that I opened up.
Right.
It's on First and Main. I sell T-shirts and sweatshirts and sweatpants and that kind of stuff. And I have sizes from kids all the way to adults, and I want to market that. And I sell pretty much everyone else's, you know, I sell the name brands, Champion and all the rest of them.
Sure.
So, you know, their attitude is, well, I just want to bring people in my store. So they're going to try to find a company that's going to be able to work with them. What kind of questions do they ask, and what kind
of
stuff do they deal with?
Advertising agent. I mean, they're trying to advertise what they are selling,
right?
As opposed to trying to, you know, again, that's the branding doesn't happen overnight. So again, the advertising agency, if you will coincide with ImageMark to help put together, you know, an entire branding scheme.
But look at Target. Let's just take Target as an example, because that's a perfect example.
Okay.
Target, in my opinion, and it's only in my opinion, obviously when Target started to market itself and become, it's obviously one of the largest big box retailers.
Correct.
When Target started, it was, you know, it was an average store. And it clearly just sells other people's products. It doesn't really have its own brands. It does, for some products, it may have its own private label. But for most products, for most of the store, it's selling its own thing. It seems like they have gone through a total metamorphosis. I mean, first it was like for people who shopped at Target, in order for them to feel a little bit more special, I guess, that they weren't shopping at a Kmart, it was Target, in order to, you know, maybe to make themselves feel a little bit better. But now it just seems, I mean, I watch Target's commercials. They are the bomb. I mean, they are just, it's, you know, and the types of stuff that they have. I mean, it's like it is a place of choice now.
Well, you hit on a good thing, Ian, because every product has a life cycle. And Target went through their initial life cycle of, hey, we're going to be the competitor to Walmart, come in, you can buy all this stuff. Well, now they realized that the consumer wants more. The consumer wants different stuff. The consumer and all their trendy commercials that they do, they've just maxed out their initial life cycle, and they turned the chapter of their book, and they said, time for chapter two. Oh, we're still going to sell the other stuff that you know and expect, but now we've got all this other great stuff.
Yeah, and you said that before, Mike. You said, I mean, you don't even have to be, I mean, it's the bullseye. You know, before it was the dog, now it's strictly just the Target. And if
correct.
You stick that up, that's people, it's synonymous now.
But when Target came out, you know, they sat down with the masterminds and they said, okay, we're not just going to open up our first store in Chicago and then one more in Miami and then one more in New York. They rolled out, and in 6 months, they had 200 stores. That's what made them the powerhouse that they are. Now, can the small mom and pop shops compete against them? It's getting tough. They use the small mom and pop shops more for convenience than they do for price and availability. So again, there's two different ways to look at the small mom and pop grocery stores, the small mom and pop gas stations, it's a matter of convenience versus, hey, I shop at XYZ company because I can buy this brand name versus just going in.
Well, it's a combination. I think it's convenience, but it's also customer service. I mean, that's what I really see a lot. I mean, Mike, you were talking about real estate. You know, my wife just became, she just passed her state exam as a realtor. So now we've got another, you know, out of the tens of thousands of realtors around here. And there are a ton of realtors out there. I mean, you know, you all do the same thing. They all use the same MLS to list the same property.
Correct.
Yeah, but
and especially in real estate, as a realtor, it's all about you. It really is all about you. You are branding yourself. You get maybe a bump with your company if you have a credible company, let alone a national brand that's behind you, but it's really all about you.
Well, in real estate, you are your own brand.
Correct.
And you're going to get most of your business in real estate from referrals.
Right.
And that's how that works. But, you know, yeah, thousands of people have their real estate license, but very few make a real, you know, great living at it.
And it's a customer service issue. I mean, it is. It's convenience, but it's customer service. It's distinguishing yourself so that people really have, I guess, a greater expectation because if the product is a product is a product. You know, I mean, certainly there are people that will always be affected by the price of a product and less about anything else. But those that really do want that one-on-one relationship, that connection, that, you know, pick up the phone and let me really ask a specific question as opposed to some, you know, glorified stock person who is just telling you what aisle to go down and go find it.
Right.
I mean, I think that's a big difference.
Yeah, with that said, though, you do see realtors who succeed way beyond others. And why do they do that? Well, you know, what Michael said. I mean, they send notices. They keep you in front of people. They send newsletters about the market. They send letters of what has sold. And those people will definitely get greater rewards than the people that don't do anything.
Michael,
Mike, real quick. The key buzzword in any marketing campaign, advertising campaign, branding, anything, is ROI, return on investment. You sent out 1,000 postcards, you sent it out every single month, and in return, you increased your sales by X amount. you can calculate in a formula your return on investment.
Right.
You invested something, you got a return, you obviously proved that it worked.
Yeah, restaurants do that all the time.
Of course,
they'll run a coupon, let's just say, or a 2-for-1 or something, and they'll require you to bring it in. Obviously, if they spent, you know, $1,000 for that ad, they're going to see what type of business that ad generated in order to see if it was worthwhile.
And what they're trying to do is get you in there to buy one. You know, you and I go out for dinner, and I buy one, you get one free. That's great. First time we're there, we said, you know what? This food is so good, I don't even need a coupon to come back a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth time.
Right.
And that's what they're trying to do. Build the brand loyalty. That's all they're trying to do. Give away something for free once, and you know what? I don't even want it for free anymore because the brand was so good.
I want to talk a tad because I know we're a little tight on time. I want to talk a little bit because you've got that experience really in advertising and marketing.
Mm-hmm.
In your experience, at least on the advertising side, what type of mediums do you find are the most effective for people that are really thinking of dabbling into, you know, setting up a budget and responsibly moving ahead with some kind of an advertising or marketing campaign? In your experience, you know, what are those effective arenas? What are those effective mediums?
Well, most of my experience is on a national level. So you know, it's so different taking a product or service, marketing it to the masses, versus taking something on a smaller level and marketing it to, you know, a regional basis, a demographic basis.
All right,
you can advertise anything you want based on age, sex, where you live. I mean, there's just so many ways to be able to brand, but my experience is on a national level.
So let's deal with that on a national level.
Say it again?
No, let's deal with that on a national level.
So taking the appropriate media mix, you have brand A, and brand A is geared towards women the age of 18 to 35, okay? You can obviously, as part of your media mix, do national advertising on television. You can obviously do national advertising in your 18 to 35-year-old magazines. You can obviously get out and do national advertising through personalities and so on and so forth. So there's the media mix is attending conventions, attending local exhibits, local and national exhibits.
Which ones out of the ones that you've had or did you find the most effective? I mean,
you know,
is it television? Is it print?
You have to understand, Ian, that if somebody didn't see our ad on TV but saw our ad in a magazine, we're 50% there. But because a lot of my companies had a lot of money, many of our target audience saw our, and again, you associate that brand. No matter where you turn, you see the Nike swoosh on television,
right.
Men's Health magazine, up on billboards, wearing it on somebody's shirt, wearing it on somebody's hat.
And you
got to
stick it on something that creates a visual for people.
No matter which way you turn, you have to be able. If you miss that opportunity, then that's one less pair of eyeballs that's going to possibly see what you have to sell, to market, to your brand, your product. So again, in my industry now, we focus on a very targeted area of merchandise, promotional products, trying to, you know, taking that real estate and taking that chip clip with the www.mikedubin.com, you know, whatever it is, something so simple like a 50-cent chip clip or a $1 Post-it notepad, something that's going to be on someone's counter at all times going, you know what, I forgot what my realtor's name is. Oh, you know, here it is. It's on this Post-it notepad.
We do have a call. I want to get this call in and squeeze it in. Yeah. We have Madison on the line.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you?
Hey,
good.
Madison.
You got a question for Michael?
Yeah, I do.
Who am I speaking with?
My name is Madison.
Oh, Madison. Hey, Ian, that's our alumni.
Exactly.
We like her already.
I'm sure you do. Question for you. Just on marketing, on a local level here, we offer a product, home-based products, a little bit of home pleasure entertainment for adults. trying to figure out how to go, like you're talking about, on the national level with these products, and I just wanted to know where you would start marketing them.
That's a very
you know,
good question.
I feel horrible that we've got 3 minutes left because this sounds like a question that we can go another hour on. But, you know, Michael, obviously she's talking about a national campaign. Madison, thanks for the question. But she's talking about a national campaign into, obviously, an industry which, you know, is a dynamic and growing industry. So, nonetheless, how do you do that? I mean,
That's something that you definitely break down on a demographic standpoint. I mean, if you're going to take this on a national level, you're probably not going to be using national television, if you will, for this particular product. You're going to be going outside the lines, and by no means do you want to, you know, do I say taking something to the Howard Stern level when he was on E, you know, certain things like that, because that's your audience.
So maybe you're targeting. Maybe you're going to be targeting certain print media.
You may target some cable TV.
Yeah, there may be some cable channels that may work on, but it's that kind of a situation.
You have to know your audience first and foremost to take your budget and not just say that you want to take this particular adult product and put it on the Super Bowl or something, you know, Desperate Housewives, whatever it is. You have to know your audience and then take your budget and gear that particular product towards your audience.
It's fine.
Do you recommend starting anywhere on the internet, advertising it?
You know, internet advertising, banner advertising, pop-up advertising, it's becoming very, very popular. It's instant trackable. You can instantly see that you're getting X amount of banner hits on a particular website, and someone's going to be able to click on that right away. WebMD is a great example. People are advertising like crazy on WebMD. They're going there, and not your product in particular, but as soon as you see a banner, that's something that you want, you click on it.
What I'm seeing is the common thread here is just to find out who that target market is, find out where they're looking, what they're looking at, how they're looking at things, and then sticking your name and your brand and your identity out there.
Internet advertising is only one part of the media mix. If you look at internet advertising, you have to complement it with another media where your target audience is going. So again, everything is based on budget. You can't be everything to everybody.
I want to make sure, listen, I hate to cut it short. We've got about 30 seconds left. I want to make sure that I give out everyone's contact information. Michael, you are at mgrossman@imagemark.com. And, of course, to reach the business counselor, you could always reach me at Ian@businesscounselor and Mike@businesscounselor. We will see you all next Wednesday for another show. Please tune in. Thanks a lot and take care.
You've been listening to The Business Counselor with your host, Ian Berkowitz, a former attorney advisor with the United States Small Business Administration in Washington, D.C. Currently, Ian is a practicing business and real estate attorney in Boca Raton. The Business Counselor is dedicated to providing you with resources and information on all aspects of succeeding in your business. If you're starting, growing, expanding, or exploding your business, this is the program for you. If you weren't able to reach Ian today and would like to contact him during the week, please email ian@businesscounselor.com. Join Ian again next Wednesday after the 11 o'clock news for another hour of The Business Counselor on AM 1230 WBZT.